Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to my show tonight, Intriguing Thoughts About Today's Issues. I would like to welcome you again. I hope that you will enjoy tonight's show. I missed you guys last week and the week before that, but I am back tonight, and we will be discussing the topic about forgiving others, including forgiving yourself and others that have also betrayed or hurt you. This is tonight's topic. I am LaVon Colquitt. I invite you all to call in if you would like to give your input about this topic. The number you can call is 563-999-3442, and you must press the number 1. Again, I'd like to welcome you, and tonight's topic is about the act of forgiving yourself for poor choices made in the past and finding forgiveness towards others that have hurt you or betrayed you. But before we get into our topic, we will have our song. This song is by Cam, Share My World. I hope you enjoy it.
Makes any difference. I still love you, girl. You're my weakness. You change my world. Share my life. Trust in me. You're all I want. Everything I need. Ooh, baby. Makes any difference. I give you all my. Girl, my sunsets anywhere you are. Maybe I'm a dreamer. You're still my queen. Your love's like a river, girl. Running right through me. Share my life.
Share.
Hey, girl.
Life.
You can trust in me.
Trust.
Baby.
Me,
you're all I want.
You are.
Hey, girl.
Want.
Yeah, everything I need. Hey.
You're my dream and my joy. My heart belongs to you, girl. So I sat down one day and I wrote this song, 'cause I need you in my world.
Share my life, baby.
Share.
Hey, girl. You can trust in me, girl.
Trust,
baby.
In me, girl.
You're all I want.
You're all
baby.
I want.
Baby. You're everything I need. Yeah.
Share.
I really mean it, babe.
Share.
Hey, girl. I'll give you what you want, babe.
Share.
Baby.
Here in my soul.
by him. I love his music. Cam is a wonderful artist. Listen, I would like to welcome everyone to tonight's show, Intriguing Thoughts About Today's Issues. I am Lavon Colquitt, and I will be discussing the topic, the act of forgiving yourself for poor choices made in the past and finding forgiveness towards others that have betrayed or hurt you. We know this is a sensitive topic, and we're going to talk about it tonight, and I would invite anyone to call in and give your opinion about this topic, and you may do so by dialing 563-999-3442 and pressing the number 1 to converse with me. We know that life may never be fair, but that is no reason to let anger destroy our well-being and our health. You know, anger is a peculiar, yet we know it's a predictable emotion. We all get angry. That's just a normal part of life. But the way we handle our anger is what is important. And usually when we become angry, you know, it begins with something as small as a drop of water, an irritant, something that frustrates you, nothing big, just something that aggravates you. Someone, you know, it could be minor things like someone taking your parking space, or, you know, someone pulling in front of you and driving real slow in the freeway. I mean, that's like a pet peeve that I have, is when you're getting on the highway and, you know, a car pulls in front of you. You know, I had a tendency to, like, just get this road rage where it's like, why did you do that? You saw me coming. Why would you do that? And so, you know, it's just one of those things that happens. Or even something as simple as, you know, a waitress serving you, but she's slow, and you're hungry, you're ready to eat, so you get angry. Those are small things, you know, that we can get angry about. But what about the type of anger that really gets to the core of you? I mean, the type of anger that causes you to feel scorn and feel bitter towards someone, and you want revenge. How do you handle that? What about Trayvon Martin? The innocent little boy, young Afro-American, well, let's say young Negro boy, okay, minding his business, and then he gets harassed by a Caucasian man who eventually shoots and kills him. You know, that made all of us angry. All over America, we were angry about that event. Was it fair? No, it wasn't fair. How do you think his parents felt? I mean, for us, for those of us who have children, we obviously know how they could, we probably know how they felt. You know, we will never truly know what they felt unless something like that has happened to us. But we can just imagine how that felt as a parent to have your innocent child killed by a prejudiced man who just, in my opinion, just wanted to kill someone. Is it easy to forgive him? Do you think the parents have the right, or should they forgive him for shooting their son? I mean, this is something that, you know, it's easier said than it is done. It's easy to say that I forgive you, but do you ultimately forgive that person? What if someone killed someone in your family, and you know, here it is, you have to go to court, you have to go through the trial, you have to go through the rights and wrongs, the jury, finding out what the judge is going to say about the case. Is this person going to be convicted of this crime? And let's say they do get convicted, or maybe they don't get convicted. How do you forgive something like that? I mean, that to me is, it just reaches down into the skin. It's like, how do you forgive that person? But this is something that we have to endure. There was a situation, and I had mentioned this on one of my shows before about this particular lady. Her mother-in-law is a judge. She went in. She and her husband had already had a child, and she became pregnant again. And so she went in, and she went in to actually deliver the baby. And, you know, everything was fine. Everyone was happy. Everyone was excited, you know, about the baby coming into the world. You know, you know, just ecstatic about the joy of bringing new life into this world. And the mother, she delivers the baby, and everything is good. The baby's healthy, mom is happy, dad is happy, grandma, everyone is happy. But the mother is bleeding. She is bleeding to death. And the husband notices that, he notices this. My wife is bleeding. You know, she's getting weak. She's not feeling well. She's bleeding. I'm trying to remember the story, but the doctor, the husband of the wife, informs the doctor about what is going on. And so the doctor, you know, is just acting like, oh, well, it's not a big idea, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, here she is. She's a Negro female. And of course, you know, the doctor is a Caucasian man. And the doctor eventually tells the husband that, you know, he goes to the doctor several times, and hours pass, the hours of the night passes by. And I mean, it's been hours later, and the doctor told him, your wife is not of importance right now. And, you know, that, how could you say that to someone? Whether it's to him, that was an emergency. That's his wife. You know, here it is, his wife is bleeding to death, and he's like basically pleading with the doctor, you know, look, my wife is bleeding, and she's getting pale, she's looking sick, something's not right. But the doctor still tells this man that your wife is not of importance at this time, and she dies. His wife dies. And she could have been saved if that doctor had simply just, you know, honored the request of the husband and, you know, did what he was told, but he didn't. So how do you forgive this doctor who has done this to this man's wife? I mean, these are the small drops of water, and before you know it, a bucket full of rage develops in you, and you're walking around with bitterness and hatred in your heart. If you would like to give your opinion or share your comments about tonight's topic, then, you know, call in and tell me what you think about tonight's topic. I would love to hear from you. And I would like to thank all of my listeners and my callers, because your support is greatly appreciated. I mean, you can't imagine how much I appreciate you all. It means a lot to me to know that you are taking time out of your busy life, your busy schedule, to call in and check on us here at Intriguing Thoughts about today's issues. And you're willing to listen or even give your opinion about the topic of discussion, which is finding forgiveness for yourself for poor choices made in the past, or forgiving those that have betrayed or hurt you. Hello, good
Hello.
Evening. Hi,
how are you? I'm doing good. Interesting
Great.
Subject matter.
Wonderful.
I'm just intrigued by the examples that you gave and the circumstances and the situations that you spoke about. And forgiveness, even for yourself and for others, is a very, very tough thing. Just knowing how to forgive. And
okay.
In the heat of the moment, it's easy to say something that you'll regret later. You know, stemming from anger or whatever the nature of the situation is. So I think that we often should just take a breath, as hard as it is. And it's the most difficult for me because I struggle with anger issues.
Okay.
Just if we could just take a breath before we speak or before we act, then forgiveness may not be that necessary in certain situations, things that are under our control.
Okay.
Things that
are
out of our control, I think that we need help with that. And for me, it stems from a religious standpoint, because you're going to have some other intervention besides yourself.
Absolutely.
In order to know how to forgive or how to work through a situation in order to forgive, because we all need to forgive ourselves for things that we have done in order to be able to forgive other people. Because if you don't know how to forgive yourself for certain acts or certain things that you have done or things that have occurred in your life out of order, you don't know how to forgive other people. So it starts with you and a self-examination. If we can't exercise our own forgiveness, how can we forgive someone else?
Well, in most cases, caller, I think most people don't think that they did anything wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's like most people generally don't
see. We can have regrets. We just don't admit it.
Right. Okay. That's
we
true.
We have it. We
That's
just don't
true.
Admit it.
Okay.
You know, it's an internal struggle with that. You don't want to admit that you were wrong or that you did not do things the way that you should have done them. And it all starts with you. Really actually begins with your foundation and how you're raised. I will say that. Because a lot of us mimic what we see.
That
and
is so true.
And if we don't reach a point where we can, you know, break that family curse or what, you know, whatever people want to call it, if they don't want to call it that. But if your foundation was not stable enough, or if you saw a lot or you endured a lot, you may grow up with these internal issues that you never worked through, and they spill over into your adult life. So
that is so true.
Forgiveness,
that's true, Tyler.
It's a very, very tough thing, but you have to learn to first forgive yourself. Because if you don't, you cannot forgive other people. And that's why you can find people who can forgive in death situations, you know, traumatic tragedy. And the people are at peace, and they are okay, and they can embrace that family or that individual, because they themselves know about forgiveness, because they've forgiven themselves. They don't walk around with kind of like a guilty conscience or a cloud over their head because they didn't do something right. So it starts within, to forgive yourself of whatever shortcomings you have. And then it'll matriculate outwardly, and therefore you don't have a problem with it. But when you can't do that, you're going to have some intervention. It's no other way, I promise you. We can't work through these struggles and these battles ourselves. So for me, religion is really important.
I agree with you, caller. It's really easy, like I said, it's easier said than done, and I totally agree with you when you say a lot of it is from what people have seen. They emulate, you know, they emulate what they know. This is all they know. For instance, growing up, I had obviously two sets of grandparents. One of my grandparents, she was very, very feisty. She had anger issues. I saw that from her. She was not very forgiving at all. She was very she was bitter. She was going to get you
judgmental.
Back. She got fired from a job because she got ready to stab a white lady that called her the N-word on her job, and someone had to grab her wrist and hold her back. Now imagine, you know, if she had just walked away, which most people would not do that. How are you going to forgive someone when they just called you that N-word? You know, now keep in mind, this is what she grew up around. I was told that her mother was the same way. Her mother carried a shotgun. She had that engine blood, and I heard they have tempers anyway. She shot at a sheriff's car. So, I mean, it's like, you know, they lived down this long dirt road, and the sheriff was coming down, and she shot at the sheriff's car, and the sheriff turned around and obviously went back because he knew, you know, whatever. But whatever happened from that, I really don't know, but that's the story that kind of dwindled down. But all that I know is that she had anger issues, and so did her mother. So on my father's side, my mother's mother was very mild and meek. You know, some people say, oh, she lets people get over on her. She was very forgiving. So, you know, I come kind of in between, I think. I have, because of maturity, life experiences, over the years, I have learned how to find forgiveness. And you said it stems from a biblical standpoint, and I do agree that that has made a lot of difference in me not, you know, not holding grudges with people or kind of being able to move forward. Now, is it easy? Yep. Absolutely not. It is not easy to forgive someone. It's possible, but it's not something that you can just go around and tell everyone, you got to forgive this person, you got to forgive that person. You're right. It has to stem from something has
a
to
deeper,
trigger within
a deeper,
you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a deeper source.
Yes.
And, you know, everybody has their own form of religion, you know, whatever that may be. But there is an intervention, and even if it's not from a religious standpoint, it may need to be from a medical standpoint where you need to get into some therapy.
Yes,
and work through it. And you may need some medication to work through it. You know, I'm not opposed to any of that, whatever it takes. You know, you can't let your pride stand in the way of getting treatment.
True.
And people do. Because they're too proud to admit. They're too proud to talk about. They're too proud to share. So when you have that, it's a lot of denial. And if you can
there's
get
a stigma attached
denial,
to it too, and the in the Negro community, there's a stigma attached to receiving help or getting therapy. If you know, if you know you have an underlying issue, a mental issue, it could be, you know, anything that's hindering you from prospering or prevailing. You know, to make your life more productive, to make you happier, to make you know, just to live a more productive life. You know. There's a stigma attached to that. Until we get past that point, it's going to always lay dormant. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not gonna change.
Nope, not at all. And that's where you or me as individuals, we recognize that, and we make that change within our family. And sometimes it's necessary to keep your children and yourself away from family. Because you don't want them to emulate that type of behavior that you yourself may have been exposed to, because you don't want them to have those ways. So you try to guard and protect
your
children.
It's so ironic that you say that, because coming up, my mother, who's the daughter of the more dorsal grandmother or more laid-back grandmother, she did not really want us around my father's parents often, because her concern was the verbal abuse, the language, they cursed a lot, she felt they were very aggressive, too aggressive, you know, things that we saw, heard. I think she wanted to shelter us from that a little bit. I appreciate both sides, because it makes I see it from both standpoints. And then she and my father would get into this battle. I remember him saying something like, you know, you think your family is better than my family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were a little more
protected.
Financially better, I mean, as far as that. But as far as being better, as far as you being a human being better, they were not.
No.
But they would
But she wanted to guard you guys.
Right, exactly. But my father was like, that's their grandparents, too. You know, those are their grandparents, too. You know, you always have them
at
your mom and dad's house. Right. And so that was like, you know, something I remember them arguing about coming up. And I'd be like, well, dang, you know, what? You know, but now I understand what my mother was trying to do as a parent, as a woman. You know, she didn't want us to carry that into our lives and have that same kind of, you know, I'm going to get you back.
Mentality,
I'm gonna, you know, that's okay. I'm going to get you. You know, that type of mentality. And so, I saw it from both standpoints. And it was, it was different,
but
I loved them. I loved them both the same. You know what I'm saying? I loved my grandparents.
Because you didn't really understand it. You didn't really understand what was taking place. You know, you just heard what you heard, and you may not have stood, but when you were old enough or when you had your own children, you understood what guarding ears, minds, eyes, hearts was about. And you didn't want your kids around certain people or certain types of behavior because you didn't want that to be a part of their spirit.
Exactly, right. But, I mean, it – you know, coming up around both types of grandparents to me was wonderful. I remember the stories, you know, that she would tell us, stories my father would tell us about, you know, how she would get angry. I mean, you know, and you have to realize, too, that when they were coming around, there was a lot, and there's still, some people think because it's 2018 that there's no prejudice out here. That is absolutely not true.
I don't know where they are.
Yes, that is not true. It still exists. It's a different type, but it's still being prejudiced.
Yes.
There are people that are against us. And one prominent story, which was told, and I'm going to make this very brief, she and her, my father, she, my grandmother, and my father and my uncle, they were children at the time, and they were standing in line, and they were in Woolworths, and they were standing in this line, and this white man comes in and crutches. He comes in and crutches and stands in front of my grandmother. He tries to get in front of her in front of the line, so as she's coming by, she sticks her foot out and trips this man on the crutches. And she says, oh, I am so sorry. And she takes my father and brother by the hand and pulls them back into their place in salon. Now, you know, I mean, you know, there were things and stories like that that I've heard of her. So I knew she was like she's going to stand her ground type of person.
Right.
And I respect her for that because she had that right. But then, again, on the other hand, as I was saying about my mother's parents, totally the opposite. They would have never done that. But, you know, forgetting people.
But it's your environment, and it's where you're from. And it's, you know, if you suffer from issues, anger, you know, poverty, whatever it may be, you already have things going on. So you may, you know, have something against your parents, and you haven't forgiven them. So how can you, you know, forgive other people? It all starts in the home. It starts right there at the very core of you. Some people despise and hate their parents. I mean, and they haven't forgiven them for maybe the lifestyle or what they didn't give them or what they wanted or thought they deserved. And it spills over into adulthood. So you would stick your foot out and trip that person because you still have underlying issues. And it doesn't faze you when you do that.
Exactly. You think that's a normal. Right.
Yes.
You think that's normal. You think that this is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm not supposed to forgive him because he tried to jump the line. You know.
Right.
So it's just Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is something with that. But, mm-hmm. you know, there's still no power in stating that you made me angry, you forced my hand.
So I'm doing
I'm not
it.
Responsible
yeah,
for my reactions. You know,
right.
you can't, you've got to take responsibility for your actions.
Mm-hmm.
You really do.
But
you really do.
It starts within, and you need external help. It's nothing that you can resolve on your own. And if somebody has resolved that on their own, they're a masterpiece. Because it takes intervention, whether it is biblical and religious, or whether you're in a therapist's office who tells you step by step what you need to do, or you have to get some medication to deal with some of the irregularities of your mind. And whatever may be going on in there, but
well, you know, it starts in the mind, and you know, people are quick to say, "Oh, I forgive you, but I won't forget." And some people are like,
right.
"Well, how can you forget? How can you forgive and not forget?" But psychologically, you are never going to forget. Okay, you're never going to forget. Let's
yeah.
just keep it real. You can find
but
forgiveness.
You can, yes. Forgiveness. You
but
can.
You won't, will not forget it. Now, for some reason, if, for some reason, God forbid, someone develops Alzheimer's, well, they call it dementia now. You know, they
yeah,
change up so much.
It's a possibility that they might not remember. But
they may, but you know, but keep in mind, they remember usually the things that
go,
are
they go back
more,
to that. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They even remember
they
sometimes the things mm-hmm. that they never forgave someone over or forgot. But some things,
mm-hmm.
just by nature, you're just going to automatically forget. But some things you will not. And see,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing that people need to stop saying is just forget it and get over it and forgive. You're
mm-hmm.
not going to forget it,
mm-hmm.
but you need to allow
mm-hmm.
yourself to go through those emotions, you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So that
you're gonna
you can
feel
heal
hurt.
From that and move
yes.
on.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't heal, you can't move forward. And that's a part of
yes.
forgiveness. Because if you forgive
yes.
them, you can heal from that situation. Not saying that you're going to forget it. Because, like you say, if my husband were to die at the hands of a negligent doctor, that's nothing that I would forget about that. But I would have to figure out how to forgive that person and move forward so that I won't be stagnant in my life, unhealthy,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, everything is in disarray. Because if I don't do that, I'm defeated.
You're doomed. I mean, you're in
yeah.
bondage. You know, you're
mm-hmm.
in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
But caller, have you ever had a situation where you're thinking, okay, I've moved on. I don't think about this situation that occurred. I'm thinking I've moved on. I'm thinking that I've forgiven this person.
Yeah,
and then the same thing happens to a friend or a family member.
It brings
or,
it back up.
Or
it,
somebody
it,
brings it back up in your memory. You seem to have those same emotions flare up again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, have you truly
mm-hmm.
forgiven that person,
you,
even though you're
feeling.
Saying that?
It,
yes.
yes, you have, but it's a feeling, and
yes.
you can't do anything. And the way that we overcome that is because you don't let your feelings control you. You control your feelings. It will resonate because your memory is jogged, and it'll take you right back into that place. But
mm-hmm.
you have to
mm-hmm.
control your feelings and don't let them rule you.
That
and that's
so
a part
true.
Of the fact that you don't forget. You can put it in the back of your head, but there are incidences that will refresh that part of your life.
So true,
what
Kyla.
Do you
so
do
true.
When it's brought back to the forefront of your mind? Do you react in a negligent manner, or
girl,
do
you're
you?
Right. You well, you might have a flashback
yeah,
and have a
yeah.
moment.
Yeah, I mean,
and then you might have to
it
bring
does.
Yourself back real quick, depending
yeah.
on what it
because
is and how badly
know.
It affected you.
Yeah.
You
mm-hmm.
do not know.
No.
I mean, you know, okay,
but
who is this?
That's why
Kim
you don't
Kardashian's
let your
mom.
Feelings run you.
Right. Think about it.
Because
Kim Kardashian's
you,
mom,
yeah.
that Mary, the what's his name? Oh Lord, Okay, so the mom was married to the father, obviously. Well, he ends up being a
lawyer
wanting to be a woman.
Not the lawyer, but her second husband. Caitlin. Is it Caitlin?
Yes. Girl, can you imagine? You're married to him. You don't have his babies. You've had his children. And you're telling me that all these years. You're telling me that you were wanting to be a woman and you up in here in bed with me, getting me pregnant?
His wife said that he had those, she knew that he had those tendencies when she was married to him.
She should have never married him then. She probably knew that when she was dating him and probably thought
she
could change him.
No, she didn't know before they got married. She knew when they were married.
You're saying after they got married and had been living together.
Yes. And she discovered
what he
was doing. And she said it didn't surprise her at all that he finally went full circle with that. Because he had those tendencies back then with his first set of children in his first marriage. For me, the kids embraced it.
Girl, she gives him the stinky eye every time she looks at him. You know, it's real. It would be very hard.
That's a rough one.
Yes.
At least he wasn't. I don't know if it's easy that he wanted to be a woman or if he would have been with a man. There's two scenarios there. I think I might would take him wanting to go ahead and do his transgender into a woman and not know that he was on the down low the whole time we were together and subjected me to some things. So that's a tough one. But
girl, he's sitting up there,
those kids love him. Like, I mean, you know, they're making him up and dressing him and helping him do what he do.
I don't think I could do that. I mean, I'm going to help my daddy dress up and put some lipstick and some hair weave and everything else. And then here's a pair of my heels. Well, he couldn't wear my heels anyway because his foot would be too big. But let's go shopping for some heels. Let's go get our nails done. I mean, how does it, you know, and,
but he's
and I mean,
totally
you know,
transformed. He's a lady now.
He's transformed, and people have that
stuff.
Right. But the thing is, be honest about it. The thing is, he was not honest, and, you know, he held his secret.
And he spent a lot of time, in the closet.
For years. How do you find forgiveness with that? Right. No, it is not fair.
Well, what did he deprive them of at that time, though?
Well, you know, they lived a nice life. They had the life. But that doesn't mean
But in
that,
his mind and in his heart, he wasn't true to anything and anyone.
Right.
He wasn't true to the marriage. He wasn't true
to deprived
himself.
Them of honesty. Yes. Right.
Yes. And so
he deprived them of being honest by not being honest.
Yep. And then they learn from that because they sneaky and they're, you know, they live the same type, well, they mimic the same characteristics. They're not
doing
what he did, but the characteristics are the same. And when your character comes into question, who's fooling with that?
Exactly.
That's, you know, completely different because that's who you really are. For, you know, and
it gives them the go ahead to be that way. It gives them that permission to say, okay, well, he did it. He's my dad, so I'm gonna go ahead and
whatever
do
I do is okay.
Me,
anything.
Right, I'm gonna go ahead and do me.
Anything
is not right.
There's no limit. Yeah, it's no limit. And once again, that's the foundation. That right there is their foundation. So what we put in place for these young people, our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, whomever they are, that we are playing a pivotal role in their life, we need to be mindful of our behavior. We need to be mindful of how we respond and what it is that we do because they're not going to do what we tell them to do. They're going to do what it is we do. It's just, it's no way around that. And you will find your kids acting a fool, and you didn't raise them to act a fool, but you acted a fool. And then your kids are you. And that's why a lot of parents can't stand their children, because they're just like them. And you don't like anybody that's just like you.
You're right.
So when you can't stand your children, it's your fault.
You're looking in the mirror.
And you have to look at yourself.
You're seeing yourself.
If you can admit it, but most of them won't admit it. They'll holler, "I don't know where they get that from. I did not raise them like that." You very well may not have, as far as what you instilled in them, but that you lead by example.
Well, caller,
they don't have any other choice.
I want to thank you so much tonight for calling in. I have so enjoyed talking to you. You are very, very wise, and I appreciate, you know, your conversation. It was very intriguing.
And
I just invite you to call back, continue to listen. You know, once you hang up, you don't have to just hang up, but continue to listen. And you know, I invite you to call back on Tuesday, because we need other voices. You know, we need to hear, because what you say is an enlightenment and help to others, and that's the purpose of the show. That is the purpose of the show. So again, I just want to thank you.
Yeah, and I want to thank you as well. I love it. I love the music.
Yes, wonderful.
Nice.
Wonderful, great.
Nice.
Okay, love. Yes. Well, you have a blessed night, and we will talk again soon.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have another caller, area code 201201. Good evening. Hello, caller. Are you there? 201. Okay, I think we dropped our. I think we dropped the call. Maybe it was by accident. You are more than welcome to call back, caller, and you can do so, and we'll pick up your call next time. Think about this, people. You know, we say that forgiveness is something easy, and from a realistic standpoint, no, it is not. Okay, let's just keep it real. It is not an easy thing to do. It may even seem senseless to some of us. It may seem senseless to forgive others. Oftentimes, it's like it grates on our souls, like fingernails on a chalkboard, for instance. You know, that little sound on the chalkboard when you even think about the thought of having to forgive others. And as King Louis VI said, there is nothing smells so sweet as the dead body of your enemy. So some people just have to feel like they've got to get you back. And if we're honest with each other, we would readily admit that we enjoy withholding forgiveness, because it's a way of, I would say, controlling or permitting us to keep our enemies and some of our friends under control, okay? It gives us the opportunity to manipulate them into providing things we want from them. So it's sort of like we use their offense against us as a rope to dangle them over the fires of vengeance. So, you know, if we were to completely forgive them, we would actually lose them, or the excuse of self-pity. Some of us like just having that self-pity, the pity party. But, you know, we need to let some things go, you know. Whether or not people have caused you pain, hurt, or anger, you must be willing to forgive them and also to forgive yourself. So, you know, that's important, just forgiving them or even forgiving yourself, because that is so important that we find that And like our caller said, if you do not, you know, in order for someone to affect you, you must allow it. You know, that it starts in the mind. So you must allow it because that they're having control over you, okay? If you're allowing them to have that much on you, that much, that is a form of control. So callers, this is Intriguing Thoughts on today's issues. And for those of you who may just be chiming in or, you know, maybe you stepped out or you're wondering and you're just coming into the show, you're wondering what we're talking about. We are talking about tonight the act of forgiving yourself for poor choices made in the past and finding forgiveness towards others that have hurt or betrayed you. So this is our topic, and I would like to thank you all. I appreciate you all for listening, okay, and even calling in. I appreciate that so very much. Some people, you know, when we're talking about this subject, some people just have these distorted and unrealistic concepts about forgiving others. Hello, good evening. Good evening.
She's talking to you.
Okay. Hi, this is LaVon. Are you listening to tonight's topic? Can you hear me? Hello? Okay. We're going to go ahead. Obviously, maybe they're not aware that they're on, and that's okay. If you happen to realize you're on, you can come in and join into the conversation, which is fine. We're going to move on from that. Now, forgiveness is not, we talked about this too, it's not forgetting something. You will never forget it. You know, some people say, come on, forgive the person and move on. You say, you say that you forgive them and all of this and that. I mean, it's easy to say, but it's very, very hard to do. Okay. We all know that, but we've got to face that obstacle. You know, it's an obstacle. We got to face it. We got to realize that this is something that we need to do. Forgetting is psychologically impossible. I'm telling you guys, it is. It's in your conscious thoughts. You will never forget, but you can oftentimes move on. And our last caller made a lot of good points about, you know, ways of getting past hurt or pain or forgiving someone, whether it's from a biblical standpoint, which could mean praying. Prayer does change things, okay? Meditation is another form. Meditation, finding yourself, getting into yourself, getting into your inner man, your inner person. Why am I not allowing myself to be able to forgive? Why can't I move past this? You know, one thing that I've noticed is that that's a form of bondage. When you have, it's almost like you feel literally, it's literally like you feel like you have chains on you. You're being held down like something on your back, like a monkey on your back. Literally, you are feeling like something's got a hold on you. When you cannot forgive and let it go, forgive it. It feels like, seriously, like you have got something on you. And, you know, that's what we're trying to establish tonight, how to move on, how to get past something, how to let it go. And, you know, it's not an easy thing, but it can be done. Callers, if you would like to share your thoughts or give your opinion about tonight's topic, you may do so. You can call us at 563-999-3000. 442, and you have to press the number 1 if you would like to join into the conversation. Join in. One thing about finding forgiveness, guys, is if you've been hurt, you have to learn how to recognize what hurt is. Everyone knows what it feels like to be hurt, but oftentimes people want to repress those feelings or put those feelings to pass. And you know what eventually happens from that, from a therapeutic standpoint, you become numb, and your whole life you will begin to feel numb, and you will build up a shield, and your body will automatically begin to repress or put back those feelings, and you will not feel anything. You will not feel these things, and that is not healthy. And that leads to when your head is not right, your body's not right, okay? Let's just say that. If you have a headache, for instance, your whole body is going to be out of whack. Now, I have had some migraine headaches to the point where I felt nauseous, and I felt like I was going to just puke all over the place. My head is spinning. That is a migraine. That is a serious headache. There is no way, if you are dealing with a migraine headache, that you're going to be able to function wholeheartedly right. There's no possible way around it. And that's what happens. So when your head's not right, your body's not right, you do not act right, your thoughts are not right, you're not thinking right, so you come out doing stuff that's not right, okay? Let's just be real about it. So we got to get our mindset right. You got to get your mindset right, get in the right frame of mind. And it starts with your inner man, finding peace within yourself. You're not forgiving the person necessarily to, how can I say it, to just you're forgiving the person for you, okay? It's like a release. You're forgiving them for you. You're unblocking negative energy. You know, a lot of times people that are angry, if you've noticed, they have high blood pressure. They have high stress levels. Their body aches. I mean, they're constantly aching all the time. These are roots of unwanted emotions, and they're guilty. A lot of times people are guilty. And so for me, this would be like a form of punishment. Like you're punishing yourself for not allowing yourself to forgive and move on. And all in all, unforgiveness leads to anger and revenge. And when you're angry, you're just basically in fear. That's what it is. You're fearful. It's like, I'm afraid if I don't get you back or eliminate you, that you will destroy me. That's what it is. It's just trying to get someone back. And as our caller stated before, your ego, that's called your ego. I'm afraid you will think I'm weak. You gotta stop worrying about what people think. I can't worry about what people think. They think all kinds of stuff about me. I mean, that's life. I'm going to punish you so you can feel guilty. What? Come on. You know, you may choose not to forgive the person that's hurt you, but in the end, you're really punishing yourself. You're paying for it little by little, ceasing to forgive yourself or others will weigh you down. That's all it's going to do. Is weigh you down. It's going to weigh you down. And you know, it's a sad thing because I don't want to be weighed down in my life. I don't want to be weighed down. My sister had a birthday party this weekend, and I mean, it was like one of the best things I've ever gone to. Her husband gave it to her. You know, I'm not going to tell her age because she might get mad at me. And she might not forgive me. But look, I'm just kidding. But let me tell you something. We had the best time ever, man. It was like 170 people there. We had the best food. I mean, the music was off the hook. And we just had the grandest time ever. And, you know, one of my cousins was there, and I'm not going to say any names. And this particular person was upset with two of the other people that were there. And you know what happened? A revelation, y'all. It was a revelation. How about the person ended up hugging the two people that they were upset with and finding forgiveness? And you know what the person said to me? You have that kind of power over me. Because I simply went to that person and said, you need to forgive them. You need to let it go. They were all three of them at the party. And I'm like, you know, here I am throwing my little therapeutic strategies out there. You need to let it go. You let it go, move on as far as that's concerned. You will not forget it, okay? You're not going to forget it, but just move on, son. Let it go. So anyway, they ended up hugging each other, and, you know, everything was hunky-dory, and everything ended up being grand and fine. And, you know, that just did something that made me feel some kind of way. I was like, now, look at God. He's good. He is good. But it turned out to be a wonderful event. And we, you know, just had the awesomest time ever. The awesomest time ever. Y'all know I like to act silly. But forgiving people, guys, look, authentic forgiveness is a deep faith that we are enough and love is abundant. Even though we have been wronged, we don't have to spend our emotional energy trying to pay others back. And at the end of the day, that's what it ultimately boils down to. Because think about how much energy and time we are investing in, you know, being upset. It's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. And you know, as a cliche says, life is short. And really it is, because as I look back over my life and I think about all the things that I've gone through and seen, I'm telling you, boy, I love life. I'm here to live it. I'm here to stand for it. I'm here to be a witness. I'm here to help others. And I really believe that's what my calling is, for real. And most of all, I'm here to love people. And I think if we all do that and try to do it without being fake and phony about it and just be real about it, I really believe that more positive changes will come into existence. I really do believe that. As a matter of fact, I know that it will. I know that it will. And so with that being said, finding forgiveness is a very achievable strategy that detaches you from drama and leads to clarity and truth. Forgiveness is not right. It's not about being right, or it's not about being wrong or what is fair. Forgiveness is about setting yourself free. Set us free. Set us free. That's exactly what it's about. Setting us free from terrible turmoil that anger causes to spill over into every part of our life. And you know what? I don't want to be that way. And I would think that you wouldn't want to be that way either. With that being said, it's another show. The show is now over, and I would like to thank everyone for joining Intriguing Thoughts About Today's Issues, and I invite you to come back next week, next Tuesday at 8:30. Thank you so much. You all have a blessed week. Good night.